राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वनछारी, यमुना तीर वनछारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वनछारी, जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत श्री श्रीमद His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Haridas Thakura Ki Jai, Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai, Sri Siddhartha Krishna Gopinath, Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Yamuna Devi Ki Jai, Ganga Devi Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane. We are assembled here to study the Srimad Bhagavatam, the ripened fruit of the tree of knowledge. We are studying the first canto, which Prabhupada calls creation. Chapter 9, the passing away of Bhishma Dev in the presence of Lord Krishna. Today's verse is number 47. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tushtuvur Munayo Krishta Krishnang Tad Gukhya Namabhi Tatas Te Krishna Hridaya Swashraman Prayayu Punaha Tushtuvur Munayo Krishta Krishnam Tad Guhya Namabhi Tataste Krishna Hridaya Swashraman Prayayu Puna. Please check. Tushtuvu, satisfied. Munaya, the great sages, headed by Vyasadeva, etc. Krishna, all in a happy mood. Krishnam, unto Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Tat, his, guhya, confidential. Namabhi, by his holy name, etc. Tata, thereafter. Te, they. Krishna Hridaya, persons who always bear Lord Krishna in their hearts. Swa-ashraman, to their respective hermitages. Prayayu, returned. Punaha, again. Please repeat. All the great sages then glorified Lord Sri Krishna, who was present there by confidential Vedic hymns. Then all of them returned to their respective hermitages, bearing always Lord Krishna within their hearts. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The devotees of the Lord are always in the heart of the Lord, and the Lord is always in the hearts of the devotees. That is the sweet relation between Lord Krishna and his devotees. Due to unalloyed love and devotion for the Lord, the devotees always see him within themselves, and the Lord also, although he has nothing to do and nothing to aspire to, is always busy in attending to the welfare of his devotees. For the ordinary living beings, the law of nature is there for all reactions and reactions, but he is always anxious to put his devotees on the right path. The devotees, therefore, are under the direct care of the Lord, and the Lord also voluntarily puts himself under the care of his devotees only. So all the sages, headed by Vyasadeva, were devotees of the Lord, and therefore they chanted the Vedic hymns after the funeral ceremony just to please the Lord, who was present there personally. All the Vedic hymns are chanted to please Lord Krishna. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 15, verse number 15. All the Vedas, Upanishads, Vedanta, etc., are seeking him only, and all hymns are for glorifying him only. The sages, therefore, perform the exact acts suitable for the purpose, and they happily departed for their respective hermitages. Trinadapi sunichena tarariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari Harinama, 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 Vikivalam, Kalo Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatiranyata. So last year, I read a letter that Prabhupada had written to one of his disciples, saying that if you look at the synonyms, then you'll get many things to speak about. So I've been doing that for the past year or two. When I give Bhagavatam class, I speak on the synonyms. So that first word, tushtuhu, satisfied. So satisfaction comes from the soul. There is no question of satisfaction when it comes to the material body. This is something we learn in the Bhagavad Gita. We remember in the third chapter, Dushparain Analena Cha, lust, the desire to gratify the senses. There's no question of satiation. The more you try to satisfy the material senses, they demand more. In the prayers of Prahlad, after the killing of Nrisinga, Prahlad says, the conditioned soul is like a man who comes home to six wives. You can imagine. Because as soon as the man comes home, the wife is pulling. Now come do this. Now come here. Now come here. Do that. That's what it means to be married. The wife is always pushing. Now this must be done. Now you have to spend money for this. We need this. Prabhuji, we need this. It never ends. So imagine coming home to six wives. It's as if you're being pulled in every direction. So what are those six wives? The eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the skin, the mind, the senses. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 15, what is the situation of the jiva? Krishna says, first of all, the jiva is what? My ansha, my part and parcel. But he's struggling, grappling in this material world with what? The senses. With the six senses, which include the mind. That's the knowledge acquiring senses, which I mentioned. So there is no question of being happy on the material platform. As also we learn from Bhagavad Gita, everything is there in Bhagavad Gita. It's the basis of all preaching. So we learn in the Bhagavad Gita, there's that four verses where Krishna points out the faults of worshiping demigods. And he says the results of worshiping the demigods are limited and temporary because it's material. All material sense gratification is limited and temporary. We are soul. We are spirit soul. We are not going to be satisfied with something limited and temporary. Lord Chaitanya, what's that line? That this Sankirtan, even your book distribution, that's Sankirtan, yes? So, Sankirtan gives you a taste of the full nectar for which everyone is hankering for. All the non-devotees who are mad after sense gratification, they are actually looking for the same thing that we are, but they don't know where to find it. They think through their sinful activities of illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, gambling. They think through that we'll get that taste of the full nectar. But it's not. It's a drop of water in the desert. That's all it is. There's pleasure. We cannot deny the fact that there's pleasure in the material world. Otherwise, who could live? There is pleasure, but it's a drop of water in the desert. What will a drop of water do you? won't do anything for you. In fact, it'll make you more crazy. You need buckets of water in the desert. So all this sense gratification, it's just a drop of water. But sankirtan, chanting, book distribution, preaching, this gives you a taste of the full nectar. It satisfies you. Krishna consciousness, devotional service, is what satisfies you. Not material sense gratification. That's why somebody becomes a devotee. Somebody becomes a devotee because they're experienced. They have experience of trying to enjoy this material world. You all joined the movement when you're 20s, right? So you had at least 20 years of trying to enjoy the material world. The reason you came to Krishna consciousness is you were well aware of what the material experience is like. You want something better. You deserve something better. You want something better. But where is it? Yes, it's in Krishna consciousness. It's here. It's simply in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So satisfaction comes by the execution of Krishna consciousness, devotional service, beginning with, and it is there in today's verse, Namabhi. You see that word, Namabhi, by his holy name. Everything begins with the holy name. There's that verse by Rupa Goswami. Atakshi Krishna Nam. No, that's not Rupa Goswami. What verse am I thinking of? That verse in the Upadeshamrita. Okay, the verse escapes my mind. But the translation is that the conditioned soul is afflicted with the jaundice of ignorance. And when you have jaundice, the cure is sugar candy. But the problem is that when you have jaundice, sugar candy is the last thing you want to take. Sugar candy is what? Sweet. But when you have jaundice, to taste something sweet, you don't want to. Now, in a healthy condition, everybody loves sweet things. Everybody. And when you're healthy, right? I mean, the Indian diet is full of hundreds of different kinds of sweets. Not in America, they just have chocolate. But Indians, you have umpteen varieties of sweets, especially Bengali sweets. Right? So much variety, but a healthy person will automatically be attracted to sweet things. But not if he has jaundice. So the conditioned soul has a type of jaundice called ignorance. And that ignorance prevents him from tasting the sweetness of Krishna's holy name. Krishna's name is naturally sweet. It's the sweetest of things. But because of the jaundice of ignorance, the conditioned soul can't taste it. But what's the medicine? Namabhi, the holy name. So therefore, in the beginning, by force, you have to take the medicine. When you have the jaundice, first of all, you have to be convinced. The only cure for the jaundice is the sugar candy. That's the first thing somebody has to be convinced. Even though the medicine is bitter, I have to understand this is what's going to cure me. So even though it's bitter, I don't want to take it, but I'm convinced, no, it's the medicine, I take it. So in the beginning, chanting is bitter. It's a struggle. It's a chore. But that's why you take initiation. You take a vow. Whether I like to or not, I have to do my prescribed number of rounds. I made the vow. Just like in marriage. In marriage, there are vows. And as the years go by, sometimes you don't feel like doing what you're supposed to do. Too bad. You got married. You have to fulfill your obligations, your vows, whether you like it or not. So the spiritual master is in the same way. He's there to force you. Hey, now it's time to get up. Now it's time to chant. Now it's time to go on Sankirtan. Like even living in the temple. You can't just do and come and go as you please, not a hotel. No. You have to get up. Have to go to the program. Have to go on Sankirtan. Now you have to do the worship of the deity. Now you have, yesterday, now today you have to fast. There's so many restrictions and rules. That's the meaning of accepting a spiritual master. Discipline. And the whole idea is to get to the stage, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, is to get to the stage where you're cured. How do you know you're cured? The person knows he's cured of the jaundice when that bitter sugar cane starts to taste sweet. That's the sign that he's getting cured. Previously, he couldn't taste the sweetness. It was the nastiest thing. But now that he's getting cured because he took the medicine, now it's getting sweet. So that is encouraging him. Oh, let me take more, because the more I take, I'm going to get restored to health. In the same way, that's why that verse by Rupa Goswami, little by little, day after day, the taste for the holy name develops. So that's how you know you're making advancement. In the very beginning, it's, oh, I got to chant. Oh, I don't feel like chanting. But no, I took a vow. Hare Krishna. And I try to get it done as quickly as possible. But you know you're making advancement because now you're starting to like chanting or book distribution or any of your devotional activities. In the beginning was a chore, but as you get purified, you're looking forward to it. Like in my own case, if I don't chant, I'm completely crazy, completely miserable. I become a grumpy old man. I've seen it. If I don't chant, I become a grumpy, nasty old man. Soon as I start chanting, I'm a completely different person. So this process of Krishna consciousness is scientific, as the Bhagavad Gita explains. Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam, 9th chapter. Do you know the verse? I like this. You know your Bhagavad Gita. Very good. Excellent. Remember, Bhagavad Gita is the basis of all preaching. You learn Bhagavad Gita, you can preach anywhere to anybody, even the Pope. You can preach to anybody if you thoroughly know Bhagavad Gita. So, pratyakshavagamam dharmyam. It is directly perceived by you. I know this for a fact. Having come from a degraded Malecha Yavana lifestyle, there's no way I would have stayed in Krishna consciousness if there wasn't some realization. In other religions, they tell you, do all these things, and then when you die, you go to heaven. Or you get your 72 virgins. Now you kill yourself. No, that's not the kind of religion I'm going to belong to. I want to see direct results. So, you put in the effort, you put in the time, and little by little, you start to see there is reciprocation. As Krishna says, as you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. Or yes, you could say I surrender. Yes, you could give that example. Yes. So you put in some effort, you do a little surrender, there is immediate reciprocation from Krishna. Otherwise, I would not have lasted more than 1 week in the temple. But I saw there was some benefit. This, I'm getting something. So that keeps you going. So satisfaction is on the soul platform. And the soul becomes satisfied only by rendering devotional service. The soul cannot be satisfied by sense gratification. There's only two things, actually. Sense gratification and devotional service. That's it. If you're engaged in devotional service, you're going to get satisfaction. If you opt out of devotional service and instead go for sense gratification, you're not going to get satisfied. All right. Then this next word, Hrishta, in a happy mood. There's a story in London. Prabhupada had one servant. But after some time, Prabhupada said to the servant, go away. Because you're never happy. You're always morose. Prabhupada said, a devotee should be happy. But this servant of his, he was always morose. So Prabhupada said, you should go. Because if you're a devotee, you should be happy. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakangshati Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. So, if you're doing devotional service, you should be happy. Very simple. If you're a devotee, the symptom is you're happy. A devotee means I'm not committing sinful activities. If you're not committing sinful activities, then you're not suffering. That's the first thing. Somebody suffers, why? There's some sinful activity. That's why they're suffering. You stop sinful activities, you should be happy. No anxiety. Now you perform devotional service, you're a devotee, you should be happy. Then there's other word, guhya. So you quoted the verse. Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam. Krishna consciousness is the most confidential knowledge. Now what's amazing is, you like to do book distribution, right? So what is this? We are saying that this, say, what's your favorite book to distribute? Very good. So that's good. So Bhagavad Gita is telling you directly, this is the most confidential knowledge. But at the same time, we're giving it to everybody. It's a conundrum. If it's the most confidential, you would think it's only for a very select few. But because this is on the spiritual platform, even though it's the most confidential, and because of Lord Chaitanya, and because of Prabhupada, this most confidential thing, we're just giving it away practically. On Sankirtan, say you approach somebody and they say, I have no money, but I really want the book. Would you deny him? No, because you'll make it up, right? That's we've always done it like that. That's, we've always done that from the beginning. If somebody really wanted it and they only gave a dollar, like Bhagavad Gita, usually you don't give a Gita for a dollar, right? You'll give him a small book, right? But if he really wanted that Gita, you saw, well, they really want it, you'll give it to him. Because we're actually on a transcendental platform, this Krishna consciousness movement. Lord Chaitanya was, he broke open the storehouse of love of God and was just giving it out freely. When we do the Harinam, we don't care if they go like this or if they say bad words. Like when I used to go out in the 70s in New York, I'd be on the street. People would say, get a job, you bum. You get, like, in New York City, people are like that. You get that. But you understood. That's all right. I'm convinced this is the best thing. I want to, and even though they're going like this, too bad, the sound still penetrates. It's still there. Because that is the mood of Lord Chaitanya. Give it, give it, give it out. Don't be attached to the results. And don't consider, don't get on the mental platform. Does he want to? No. We just approach everyone. And there's millions of examples of book distributors. Millions. The last person they thought would take the book was the person they took the book. The last, like some old grandma or some, you know, and the person who thought, oh, this person will surely take the book. Oh, go away. I don't need you. Because it's on the spiritual transcendental platform. It defies all logic. Krishna consciousness on the material plane doesn't make any sense. Really. On the material plane. Like there's this expression, if you want to understand spiritual life, first, you have to be able to accommodate an elephant on a dish. If you can understand, or that other story, that the person was asked, what was Narayan doing? Oh, he was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. And the Brahmins could not accept it, but the cobbler could. That's spiritual understanding. You have to get out of this limited conditioning of material life and accommodate that God can thread an elephant through the eye of a needle or the concept of an elephant on a dish. Otherwise, when you read the story of how Krishna at 7 years old lifted Govardhan Hill, you won't accept it. You'll think, oh, this is mythology. But I don't study mythology, and that's not what Prabhupada taught us. Prabhupada didn't teach us mythology. Prabhupada taught us, yes, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill with his little pinky for 7 days. It's an historical fact. It's not a story. It's history. This is how Prabhupada presents to us Bhagavatam. That's how he preached to us. These are not stories. These are histories. These events actually happen. Or how Lord Matsya or Lord Kurma is millions of miles long. We take it as it is. We don't speculate. Oh, like I remember many, many years ago, somebody said, oh, Ravana had 10 heads. Not really. It was something. No, Ravana had 10 heads. And when Ram was fighting with Ravan, there was, in the battle, there was one episode where Ram shot his heads and the heads grew back. Amazing. That he shot Ravan's 10 heads. That's all right. Zoop, they came back. So we take this spiritual knowledge that we're getting, we take it as it is. And it's confidential. It's the most, because this is about the topmost person. It's about God. But at the same time, even though it's confidential, we're giving it to everyone. Then there's, of course, Namabhi, by his holy name. Now, the verse I couldn't remember, now Krishna is reminding me. See how Krishna works? First, Krishna says, you're puffed up. Then I continued, now Krishna is saying, okay, this is the verse. Syat nama Krishna charitari sitapya vidya pito patapta rasanasi narochi kanu. The second two lines, Krishna is telling me, wait some more. But those are the first two lines. Syat nama Krishna charitari sitapya. So everything starts with the holy name. In other words, your realization of God begins with first nama, the holy name. Once you realize that Krishna is non-different from his name, now you progress to Krishna's characteristics, his entourage, his pastimes. After that, the first thing you realize is Krishna's name. Our whole movement is based on this principle, that the name of God is God. Not a representative, not a symbol. No, the sound is God. Coming from a Catholic upbringing, I didn't have a problem with that because it's right there in the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So I didn't have a problem when Prabhupada and the scriptures were saying that the name of God, the sound of God, is God. I could appreciate that. I could accept that. First, you accept something, at least theoretically, and then you practice, then the realization comes afterwards. Like even Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, at least you should theoretically accept Krishna as God. Otherwise, reading Bhagavad Gita is going to be so difficult. If you at least theoretically accept that Krishna is God, then your reading of Bhagavad Gita will go very easily. But if you still can't even theoretically work with the concept that Krishna is God, then reading Bhagavad Gita is going to be a struggle. So everything begins with the holy name. There is this important purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Prabhupada says that the spiritual master gives you different kinds of services. They're all transcendental, whether it be book distribution, deity worship, cooking. We have so many activities in our movement, right? He says these are not ordinary activities, but he says, but first, one must abide by the spiritual master's order to chant 16 rounds. This is the first order of the spiritual master. And I know God brothers of mine who were big, big GBC, big, big gurus. Why did they fall? They took on all this service, but they neglected chanting. They neglected their little friend. So that is something I preach. You're going to get lots of service opportunities. Good. But not at the expense of chanting the holy name. It's just like the fan is running. You know, in India, got to have that fan. Right? In Delhi, in the summer, that fan is going 24 hours. Okay? Because it gets to be 120, too much. All right? Now, as long as that fan is plugged in, it goes. Now, when you turn it off or unplug it, it still goes. Right? Because of momentum. But in time, it stops. So in the same way, you may be very good devotee for some time and have lots and lots of service, but if you're chanting stops or diminishes after some time, the momentum and Maya is just going to suck you in. This chanting of the holy name is what gives you your spiritual strength. Let me ask you honestly, how long could you go out every day distributing books if you didn't chant? How long do you think you can go out? Maybe a couple, 1 day, 2 days. But something will happen. You know what it's like. Not everybody says hello. And not everybody says, oh, I'm so glad to see you, huh? Like some people, sometimes they want to smack you. Why are you approaching me? Right? You come across, especially these Malecha Yavanas. Right? Not everybody is like, oh, so nice to see you. Where have you been? That's rare. So, if you don't have spiritual strength, how will you? Yes. You'll get easily dissuaded. Or the other thing is, another thing is, if I start to see my service as material, that's another distinction. I should always remember that I'm doing spiritual activities. Say I'm sweeping the floor. I can't start to think, oh, I'm just a sweeper. I'm a sweep. No, you're not a sweeper. You're a devotee rendering service by sweeping the floor. You're not a sweeper. In other words, the same service can be done in material consciousness or spiritual consciousness. Say your service is to go out and buy all the food for the Sunday feast. So now I'm a Shudra? No. I'm a devotee, and I've been given this task to serve Krishna. But if I forget that and just see it materially, oh, they have me going out. I have to clean the bathrooms. What am I, a coolie now? Right? If you start to think materially, then that'll also, Maya will, because Maya will say, oh, look at you. You're sweeping floors, you're taking out garbage. You could be doing so much in the material world, making money and becoming famous. Why are you with these devotees? All you're doing is mopping the floor or cutting vegetables in the kitchen. And you have a college degree and you're cutting vegetables in the kitchen. That's what Maya will do. Come with me, Maya will say. I'll make you famous. I'll make you rich. Come with me. But no, you have to see. I'm not cutting vegetables. I'm in Krishna's kitchen. I'm not sweeping. I am serving Krishna. I'm not a book salesman. That can also happen. Say you get very expert, right? Say you get very expert. Then Maya will whisper, hey, you know, you could become a car salesman. You have, now you have all this talent. Come on. Become a. No, I'm not a salesman. You have to tell Maya, stop it. I am Krishna's salesman. So everything depends on the mentality by which you see it. It's time. All right. So Krishna Hridaya, persons who always bear Lord Krishna in their hearts. Coming up in a chapter later on in this canto, Vidura, Dhritarashtra's brother, will have finished his touring of the sacred places and will come back to Hastinapur to finally once again try to save his brother Dhritarashtra. Previously, when he tried to preach, Duryodhan practically beat him and said, throw this Vidura out and beat him so that he only has his breath left. So Vidura took it. These people are useless. I've tried to save these people. They're useless. So Vidura left and went traveling throughout India during the Kurukshetra War. So when Vidura returned, what did Yudhishthira say? You are a walking place of pilgrimage. Why? Because you carry Krishna in your heart. Everybody has Krishna in their heart. We understand that, according to Bhagavad Gita. But not everybody directly reminds you of Krishna. And not everybody is representing Krishna by their qualities. A person who represents Krishna by their qualities, that's a sadhu. By their mere presence, people are immediately reminded of Krishna. That's why We, as far as possible, we try to wear tilak. We try to wear our devotional clothing because it automatically reminds people of Krishna. Prabhupada says that when we're dressed like this, we look like we're coming from Vaikuntha, which is true. This is Vaikuntha in Tuwako, New Jersey. This is Vaikuntha Tuwako. Because you represent Krishna. You're carrying, you're chanting his name, you're serving him, you hear about him all day long. It's Krishna, 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 Krishna. So that will come out. And there's so many examples. The first time I saw Prabhupada, I couldn't believe it. He was glowing. And I said to myself, this is great. I have found the modern Jesus. When I saw Prabhupada, I was convinced. He was just glowing. And it brought me down to my hands and knees, and I offered obeisances, and I said, this is wonderful. I have found the modern Jesus. I've never seen anybody like that in my life other than Prabhupada. Only Prabhupada. I remember he came out of the door in Brooklyn Temple, and as he walked down the hall, he was just glowing, and it knocked me down. Jai. Then I knew Prabhupada is the spiritual master, the representative of God. He's carrying God in his heart, and he's representing. So this Krishna, persons who always bear Lord Krishna in their hearts. In Prabhupada, the first line of the purport, he refers to a verse in the ninth canto when Durvasa Muni was escaping the Sudarshan Chakra. He had offended Ambarish. And as soon as he offended Ambarish, there was the Sudarshan Chakra chasing him, getting closer and closer. And so he's running, flying for his life. Brahma couldn't protect him. Shiva couldn't. And he's an expansion of Shiva. Shiva couldn't protect him from. And the Sudarshan Chakra was getting closer and closer. So he went to Vishnu. Save me, save me. Vishnu said, I can't save you. You have offended my devotee. If he excuses you, then my Sudarshan Chakra will leave you alone, not me. And that's when Narayan told Durvasa Muni, in my heart, I only know devotees. Why? Because in the devotee's heart, they only know me. That's called confidential knowledge. Nobody knows more about God than devotees who follow Bhagavatam. They don't know. You bring up your Bible, your Quran, any scripture. What do they know about God? That much. You ask them, what does God look like? What does he like to do? What does he like to eat? Who is his mother? Who is his... They can't answer these questions. They don't know. But you come to Bhagavatam, you find out Krishna's parents. You find out what Krishna likes to do. And it's not gambling. What does Krishna like to eat? And it's not burgers. And it's not tacos. We know what God likes to eat. We know so much about God, more than anybody. We're not puffed up about it, but the fact of the matter is, in Krishna consciousness, we know the most about God than any other religion. And the difference is tremendous. It's like comparing a toy bicycle to a jet. We have so much knowledge, confidential knowledge about God. That's why we can be bold. Because we have it. We're not faking. We're not bluffing. We've got the facts. Stand on the facts. So, Narayan told Durvasa Muni, I only know my devotees because in my devotees' heart, they only know me. This is love. They only know this. All right, way over time. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Krishna consciousness ki jai. Have faith in Krishna and go out and conquer the world. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And forgive my offenses.